Morning. Today's daf is daf Samach Beis. We begin a new chapter in Masechet Avodah Zarah, the fifth chapter, dealing with, again, initially with the issues of Gentile wine. The wine that a non-Jew pours as a sacrament to his idol is Takroves Avodah Zarah, is an offering to an idol. We are not allowed to get any benefit from the offerings to idols. The Torah talks about how severe the sin of idolatry is. The Torah says, "Lo yidbak biyadcha mu'uma min acherem." There shall not be in your hand anything from that which should be destroyed from the idols. And the Torah also calls the offerings to the idols zivche nesim, the offerings to the dead. Just like you can't get benefit from a dead body, you can't get benefit from an offering to idolatry. So, the Mishnah now begins. Hasocher es hapoel. Let's say there is a non-Jew, and he has wine that he pours to idols, and he hires a Jew to do a little bit of work for him. He hired the Jew to work with this wine that is an idol sacrament. He hires the Jew to carry the wine or to stir the wine. So the Jew is not allowed to take those wages. Scharo aser, that wage is not allowed. That's considered, we're going to see the rabbis created a prohibition to prohibit the wages from this idolatrous item. However, scharo imo lasos imo malacha acheres. But if the Gentile who has these, barrels of idolatrous wine hired the Jew to do something else for him, he hired the Jew to plant trees, he hired the Jew to fix things up in the house, even though while he's working, he says, you know what? Transport for me this barrel of wine that I poured for the idols from place to place. Scharo mutter, the wage is allowed because he wasn't hired for working with the yein nesach. And the same way we have it with a worker, we have it with a donkey. Asocher es hachamor lahavya leyein nesach. If the non-Jew hires a donkey in order to use the donkey to transport barrels of wine that were poured for idolatry, schara asur, the money paid for that job is prohibited. But if he hired it for something else, schara leishevala, he hired it to sit on the donkey. Afal pishin yachovit kochavim lagino alav, even though the non-Jew puts his container of wine on it, since it wasn't hired for the prohibited wine, even though it was used for the prohibited wine, schara mutter, the wage is allowed. So again, to review the Mishnah says that we know that a wine that's poured to an idol is takroves avodah zarah, it's yei nesach, it's very, very, very prohibited. It's so prohibited that if a Jew was hired to work with that wine, he's not allowed to get those wages. If he was hired for something else and he happened to work with that wine, he could get the wages. And the same is true even if it's his donkey that was hired out. If his donkey was hired out to transport that wine, those rental payments cannot be accepted. If the donkey was hired for something else and then it ended up being used also for the wine, then the money can be accepted. Question?
I know, but doing the wine for the Avodah Zarah, isn't that the same thing as participating in the Avodah Zarah thing?
The Jew's not doing it for the Avodah Zarah. The Jew's moving it around.
Move it around, that's it, right?
Yeah, he was hired by the non-Jew after the non-Jew already used it for Avodah Zarah.
We would consider this aiding and abetting, that kind of thing.
It's not aiding or whatever, Rabbi?
So no, it's not going to be based on aiding and abetting. We're going to see that the Gemara is going to say it's because of the stringency of Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah is so severe, that's why the sages legislated that even though it's not really the definition of prohibited benefit, you're not really benefiting from the wine, you're getting paid for work, that you're doing with the wine. It's not like you're smelling the wine or using the wine as a cream or a lotion. You're not really benefiting from the wine, but nevertheless, the sages prohibited this because of the stringency of Avodah Zarah.
Rabbi, can you apply this to milk and meat? Like if you're hired as a janitor at McDonald's and you do that?
You'd be allowed to.
And then the chef is out, so they have you flipping cheeseburgers.
One second. So in regards to milk and meat, you don't have this stringency. So if you have a delivery business and McDonald's calls you and they ask you to deliver the cheeseburger sandwich to someone, that would be okay. You're allowed to. This is only with wine, and we're going to see it's only with Shemitah fruit. It doesn't apply to anything else. Now, in terms of cooking, there is a separate prohibition. You're not allowed to cook milk and meat. You're also not allowed to eat milk and meat. You're not allowed to benefit from milk and meat. So in terms of flipping the burger, that would be a problem. There is an interesting idea of the meat of McDonald's isn't kosher. So there's some who argue that there's a concept called Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. A prohibition can't take effect on top of a pre-existing prohibition. So the meat is already not kosher, so it can't also be milk and meat, because it already started off as non-kosher. Then the Rajba, he disagrees. The Rajba says, but the prohibition of non-kosher is just not to eat. The prohibition of milk and meat is not to get benefit also. So when you have Isser Mosif, when the second prohibition is more expansive than the first, then it could take effect. But the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos of Chulin has a very famous comment. He calls it Nekuda Nifla, an amazing idea. He says that prohibitions of benefit are really extensions of prohibitions of eating. Whenever the Torah says don't benefit, it's saying that in this item, benefit is a form of eating. The eating is so broad, it even includes benefit. So the Rambam says that if you had a prohibition of eating, a prohibition of benefit couldn't take effect on top of a pre-existing prohibition of eating. So according to the Rambam's Nekuda Nifla, this wondrous idea, there actually would not be a law that you can't benefit from McDonald's, because McDonald's, being that it's non-kosher, the meat's non-kosher, so the prohibition of milk and meat never entered. It just stays as the prohibition of non-kosher. Okay, go. So we saw you can't do that. We saw earlier you can't do that.
I thought it was only once the person begins to use it.
That's when it becomes prohibited, but you're still not allowed to make it.
So if a Jew has a makes some kind of thing, it's not a religious symbol, but let's say, I don't know, a candle or some kind of figurine that becomes used in idol worship, does that person have to then suspend?
He may have to, you know, not make that line of product. We saw there was a question about crosses. The Rama was lenient about the cross. He thought that the cross is not always a religious symbol. It's maybe just jewelry. But, you know, if somebody has a factory, he makes stuff, and somebody comes with an order, I want you to make for me 100 statues of Osoa Ish, not allowed to fold the order. You can't do it.
A rabbi in Hackensack used to go to, and he would never tie his tie.
Why?
Because he resembled a cross.
Really?
Wow. But when he wear a tie, he would never put it through the knot.
Interesting.
The
never
knot.
Heard that.
He always wore it out. He always wore it right on top of the knot. He never
knew that.
He was a Holocaust survivor, so he never wore that.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right, well, I'm wearing a tie. Maybe I should take it off.
No.
All right, so now starting the Gemara.
That's why I don't wear ties.
Says the Gemara. Again, the Mishnah said that if somebody hired a worker to help him out with his prohibited wine, the wages are prohibited. So So Gemara now asks, my time mascharo aser. Why would this wage be prohibited? Elim, if you're going to say, since you're now going to get benefit from this wine, scharo nami aser, that's why the wage for it is also prohibited. But that's not the rule of normal prohibited items. Let's take arla, the first 3 years of a fruit tree. The fruits of that tree are arla, you can't get benefit from them. Or kilaya karen. Let's say you have a vineyard, and in the vineyard you crossbreed wheat with the grapes. Dasurin ba'na, these are things that you're not allowed to get benefit from. Utnanet Mishnah says, machran, let's say a person did a sin, he sold these items, v'kidesh b'dmeim, and then he used the money that he got for them to a woman, he gave it to the woman to marry her, mekudesha, she is married, it has value, she can use it for whatever she wants. So you see that's the norm with items that are prohibited from benefits. So why can't a person still get the money that he was hired to receive? Ella, so the answer is like this. Avodah Zarah is different than Arlan Kilaya Karen. Ho'el v'tofis esdam of kavodas kochavim. Since in regards to Avodah Zarah, we have a rule that if you have an idol and the idol is swapped for something, that thing that the idol was swapped for also becomes prohibited to get benefit from it. And this is basically like an idol because it's an offering to an idol. So therefore, the money for it also becomes prohibited. But that's not true. Hare Shvius, Shemitah is the other item where whatever it is swapped for has the status of it. Let's say you have fruits of Shemitah. If you swap the fruits of Shemitah for money, so then that money will have the status of these fruits of Shemitah. The Tofesa system that captures its funds. It's not even in a Mishnah. Omer lepoel, if somebody tells a worker, hey lach dinar zeh, here's this dinar, lekot libo yerek hayom. Pick for me or for it vegetable today. So basically saying, get vegetables worth a dinar, and the dinar will take the place of the vegetable. So then he's trying to do business. So then scharo aser, that dinar gets the status of that Shemitah fruit. So whenever that type of Shemitah fruit, let's say it was grapes, whenever there's no more that Shemitah fruit out in the field, so that's the time of biur, when you have to take whatever grapes you have in the home and put it outside and make it hefker. If these coins were for picking grapes, then these coins at the time of beer, at the time when there are no grapes in the field, would have to go out of the home and be made hefker, be made ownerless, because they have the status of Shemitah fruit. But if the man said, not lekot libo, he just said, lekot li yerek hayom, pick for me vegetables today, pick for me this fruit today. So that's, he's just saying, I'm hiring you. It's not that this coin is purchasing the fruit. I'm hiring you. The job that you have to do is to pick. So then, scharo mutter. Then that coin doesn't have the status of Shemitah. It doesn't have the status of Shemitah. And that coin is permitted. So Shemitah is something that normally, when it's swapped for money, the money gets the status of Shemitah. And yet here you see that if you hire someone to do a job, that's okay. That money paid to that person doesn't have the status of Shemitah. So why should Avodah Zarah be different? Avodah Zarah is like Shemitah, and that whatever is swapped for the idol has the status of the idol. But you should be able to be hired to do a job with the idol, to move the idol, to transport the idol. You're not being paid. There's no payment for the idol. There's no payment here for the wine. You're working with the wine. You were hired to do a job. The same way you could be hired to do a job for Shemitah. The money doesn't have Shemitah status. If you're hired to do a job with idolatrous stuff, it shouldn't have idolatrous status. So what's going on in our Mishnah? Why does our Mishnah say that if somebody hires a worker to work with Yei Nesach, to work with wine that was poured to an idol, the wages are prohibited? What's prohibiting the wages? I don't understand. What's prohibiting the wages? He's not buying the wine. There's no swap of the wine for the money. It's not as if he's benefiting from the wine. He's benefiting from his work. His work is what he's benefiting from. He's doing work. He's getting paid for his work. So it happens to be that his work is with something prohibited. So what? The item's prohibited, but the work is fine. He's moving things from place to place. He's allowed to move things from place to place. Why shouldn't he get paid? So Amar Rabbavo answered, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Knasu. It is a fine. It's an extra stringency. Shekansu Chachamim, that the sages created a Knas, Bechamarin, with donkey drivers. We'll see that's a reference to Shemitah. Ubi Yein Nesech, and in regards to Yein Nesech. Yeinesech hadamaran. Yeinesech is what we're explaining. This is this Mishnah. In other words, from the normal laws of Isur Hanav, not getting benefit, this is not considered a violation of Isur Hanav. You're not getting benefit from the wine because you're being paid for having transported the wine. That's not benefit from the wine. Benefit from the wine would be smelling the wine, tasting the wine. This is not benefit from the wine. It's not based on the laws of not getting benefit. It's also not really the law of since whatever is swapped for the wine would have the status of the wine, this is considered swapping for the wine. Because it's not swapping for the wine. What's going on here is like this. We're dealing with the very severe matter of Avodah Zarah. We're talking about idolatry. It's the first of the Ten Commandments. It's the most basic definition of what it is to be a Jew, is to believe in one God who's not physical and who's infinite and who's found everywhere. That's the definition of what it is to be a Jew. So we're dealing with Avodah Zarah. We're talking about the worst possible offense. The Torah treats it so severely. The Torah says you can't get benefit from it. The Torah is very strict with Avodah Zarah. The rabbis made many stringencies because of Avodah Zarah. This is yet another stringency. They said we want to keep people away from Avodah Zarah. We want to punish people who are involved with Avodah Zarah. We want to discourage Avodah Zarah. So if a man took a job to transport wine of Avodah Zarah, no money. We're taking away the money. You can't get benefit from the wages. You can't take the money. You can't accept the payment that you were owed because it's Avodah Zarah. And they're very strict with Avodah Zarah. Rabbi, yeah, question?
When you say that Chachamim, the Torah person, Chachamim, which basically you want us not to deal with the Avodah Zarah, try not to do...
Maybe.
Because, no, they give you some history, but I'm saying... If you're there, you're going to make a mistake.
That could be. That's right.
So, Rabbi, in short, if you have a donkey and they rent your donkey and you ask him, the Gentile, what do you want to use the donkey for? The donkey says, I'm going to carry yain for my Avodah Zarah.
Can't, no. That's right.
So, now you know your donkey is being used to carry. Now, are you allowed to give him the donkey to rent it?
No.
So neither you rent it, neither you benefit from the rental of the donkey.
That's right.
Okay. Since you know that it's going to that destination,
And that was the
purpose. If you don't know, it's a different story,
Yeah, but that was the purpose of what he was hiring it for. He was hiring it for this. So then it's a problem. Chamarin Ma'i. What's the case where the other case you said that the rabbis created a fine with donkeys? So that's not about Avodah Zarah, that's about Shemitah. Titanya, we learned in a Braisa. Hachamarin Shayosim Melacha Bepeiro Shviyis. Donkey drivers who are doing work with Shemitah fruit, in other words, they are transporting Shemitah fruit. Scharan Shvius, the wage for their labor has the status of that Shemitah fruit. So you can't do business with it. It has an expiration date. There's the moment of Bior when there's no longer that type of fruit in the field. It has to be taken out of the house. My Scharan Shvius, what does it mean that the wage is Shemitah? What is it? Well, I already translated it. That means the wage has the status of Shemitah. But just literally the Braisa said, Scharan Shvius, their wage is a Shemitah. So what does it mean their wages is Shemitah? If it means that a donkey driver who's transporting, let's say, apples of Shemitah can be paid for his efforts with apples of Shemitah, how do you do that? That would be paying off a debt with Shemitah fruit. Hashem tells us that the Shemitah fruit is for eating, and part of that is for eating and not for any business. To pay off a debt, that's business already. So what does it mean? It means like this. Their wage is Shemitah. Their wage is holy with Shemitah sanctity. Asks the Gemara. Mi kadosh, is their wage holy with Shemitah sanctity? V'atanya, but didn't we learn in a braisa? Ha'omer la'poel, someone who tells a worker, hey, lach dinar zeh, here is this dinar, as we just learned, ulekot li yarek hayom, okay, I'm paying you for the job, today, pick fruits, and here's the payment for the job, not payment for the fruit, scharo mutter, then that wage doesn't have Shemitah status. If he said, here's a dinar, lekot li yarek bo hayom, pick fruit for me today. For this dinar is the payment of the fruit. Then, scharo aser. Then, if the dinar is the payment of the fruit, then the payment has the status of Shemitah. But if you're paying just for the job, then the payment doesn't have the status of Shemitah. So why, with the donkey driver, would his wages have the status of Shemitah? So, what does the braisa mean? So, Rabbi said it means what you originally thought it means. What it means is that a donkey driver who takes apples, he can be paid with Shemitah fruit. But you asked, doesn't the Torah say you're supposed to eat Shemitah fruit and not do business with Shemitah fruit? If you're paying off a debt, that's doing business with Shemitah fruit. The answer is, you can give it to him in a way that's permissible. There are always, you know, workarounds. You can say, I'm not really paying you for having done a job for me. I'm giving you a gift. I'm giving you a gift. Oh. And once I gave you a gift, you say, okay, I forgive you what you owed me. I'm not paying you. I'm giving you a gift, and then you in return decide to forgive what I owe you. We're giving gifts to each other. This is not payments. These are donations. That's right.
But you could, we learned that you could buy Shemitah fruits with, you know, equalizing with money, right? You could, you know.
Shemitah fruits. Yeah,
right.
Sheldon for school present.
So, you know, it doesn't have to be. I mean, you put money up and you say, okay, this is the value of the Shemitah fruit, and so that money becomes Shemitah, right?
Yeah. But here it's not fruit. He's paying for the transport.
Correct. But if he put money on the side, he says this is the Shemitah money. You know,
money paid for Shemitah fruit has the status of that fruit. But here what's going on is that somebody, you know, his business is transportation, and he had a wagon filled with fruit, and he took it to another place. Now he needs to get paid. So the guy who hired him says, okay, I'll give you 5 apples as your payment. So how could he give him 5 apples? These apples are Shemitah. How do you do business with Shemitah? To pay off a debt is business. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaya. Abaya says what it means is he pays him with the Shemitah fruit in a way that's permissible because it's not paying off a debt. It's a gift. Kid, it's not, because we learned in a Mishnah. Lo yomar adam l'chaveiro, a person shouldn't tell his friend, let's say Maiser Sheni. Maaser Sheni is the 10% that you're supposed to bring up to Yerushalayim, and it in Yerushalayim. Now, Maaser Sheni also you're not allowed to do business with it. So I can't tell my friend, Haleli Peros Halal Yerushalayim, bring up these fruits of mine to Yerushalayim, L'chelek, and that'll be good for you, because once we get to Yerushalayim, I'm going to give you a share of them. So in other words, you'll bring it to Yerushalayim, and in return, I'll give you a share. So that's already, he brings it to Yerushalayim, I now owe him the money, now I give him a share of the fruits, so then I'm paying off my debt with my Sheni fruit. That's not right. But, Avol Omer, what I could say to him is like this, Halem, bring him to Yerushalayim, Lo'ochlam l'shtosam Yerushalayim, bring him to Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim we're going to eat and drink together. That's saying, not that I'm paying you, it's not, you do this, in return you'll get a share. No, go up to Yerushalayim. I like giving gifts. You give me the gifts of bringing it to Yerushalayim. I'll give you the gifts of us eating together. So when you do it as gifts, it becomes permitted. So that's the way where you can pay the transporter with Shemitah fruit. You can't do business with Shemitah fruit. It's not business. You're going to give it to him as a gift. The same way you can structure the transaction of Maaser Sheni in a way where it's a gift and it's not a transaction, you can structure the Shemitah arrangement where it's a gift and not a transaction. So that's the view of Abayis. That doesn't really relate to our Mishnah at all, because our Mishnah's point is about prohibitions. But Rava Amar, Rava said, La'olam, the way to read the Braisas, as we were saying, to Kadosh Pektusha Shvias. The Braisa is saying that if a person transports my Shemitah fruit, then if I pay him, that money has the status of the Shemitah fruit. So you asked, why should my money have the status of Shemitah fruit? Poel, why is it any different than a worker? If I hire a worker to work in the field for a day, so the money doesn't have the status of the Shemitah fruit, it's just working in the field for a day. The answer is, Poel, when it's a worker, de lo nafish agre, it's not a lot of money. So lo kansu rabbanan, the rabbis don't say that the wages should have the status of Shemitah fruit. But chamarin, but when it is a wagon driver who's doing a big job, getting a lot of money, de nafish agrayu, there's a lot of money involved. So since there's a lot of money involved, kansu rabbanan buhu, the rabbi said, you know, it looks too much like business here. You're getting a lot of money through Shemitah fruit. Not really doing business with them, you're just transporting them. But anyway, you're getting a lot of money through Shemitah fruit. This, if we allow this, people are going to do business with Shemitah fruit. All right, this money has to have the status of Shemitah. So that's the point of Rava, is what would explain our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we see not chamar, not a wagon driver, just a regular poel, just a regular worker. It's not a lot of money. But in our Mishnah, where it's not a lot of money, but it's talking about Avodah Zarah, that a regular worker was hired to transport barrels of Avodah Zarah offering. So therefore, since there's the stringency of Avodah Zarah, the rabbi said that the money is prohibited. And that's similar to what Rava explained, the Rava's view in regards to Shemitah. That Rava explained to Bryce in regards to Shemitah that if someone was hired to transport lots of Shemitah fruit, the wages for that transport would have the status of Shemitah. Why should the wages have the status of Shemitah? These are really wages for a job. It's not money for Shemitah fruit. It's a stringency of the rabbis. The rabbis create stringency, so they created the stringency with Shemitah because there's a lot of money involved in that case of Shemitah, and they created such a stringency in regards to Avodah Zarah because of the stringency of Avodah Zarah.
Hey, Rabbi, a contract, a Jewish contractor, can he build a church?
Can a Jewish contractor build a church? I don't think so. No.
Not sure.
I don't think so. No, I don't think he can build a church.
But if you build a website that raises funds for a church?
Mm. Yeah, similar questions.
These are high-tech questions.
These are similar issues. But again, you go back to the... You go back to the Tosfos in the beginning of our Masechta. Tosfos claims that the Christians nowadays are not really Avodah Zarah anymore. You really have to talk to the Poskim to see if that's something that's accepted. Yeah, question.
Like this up, any customer come to the store, you have to ask him.
Well, one second. Yeah. Well, that's the argument between the Mabit and the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says not, and the Mabit says it still has.
How much do we have to investigate what our work is being utilized for?
So we don't. We were talking about a din d'rabbanan here, so safik d'rabbanan l'kula. You don't need to investigate much.
The Indians are all Avodah Zarah. Mm. My customers are all Indians. So what are you supposed to do?
Well, there are a lot of buy suits. You're not selling things for worship.
I think you have to get free suits.
They already take free suits.
Suits are not Avodah Zarah. They're not using it for Avodah Zarah.
They go to their churches, Rabbi.
Okay. Yeah, but they also go to business meetings wearing suits, and they go to like weddings wearing suits.
Sometimes it's not good to learn too much Gemara.
It is good. It's good to learn the Gemara. It's the best. Okay, we're at the two dots now on Samach Beis, Amud Beis. So till now we've been talking about Yayin Nesach, wine that was actually poured for the Avodah Zarah. That wine we know is Avodah Zarah. So we've learned at the beginning of the Misach, there's something called Stam Yenam, wine of a non-Jew, where we don't know what it was used for. So Ibayaluhu, they had a question in the yeshiva. Scharo l'stam yenam. Let's say the non-Jew hires the worker to transport, not barrels of wine that were poured for Avodah Zarah, but barrels of wine, and we don't know. Maybe they were used for Avodah Zarah, maybe not. So now, what's the halacha? Yeah, I mean, do we say, Kevan the Yisur and Chamer Kediyai Nesach, since the sages say that you're not allowed to get benefit from such wine, it's a severe prohibition. So therefore, Scharo Nami Aser. So even this added prohibition against the workers' wages take effect. Oh, Dilmor, maybe. Oh, the Tumaso kill. In regards to impurity, there's a leniency. Yei Nesach has the status of a dead body. It would be Metame, even a Kazayas of it. Whereas Stam Yenam, the wine of the non-Jews that we're not sure was used for Avodah Zarah yet, we just don't know anything about it. We just know it's their wine, and they had full control over it. That doesn't have the status that a Kazayas makes Tumah. Only it doesn't have the status of a dead body. It only creates Tumah of a Revius Halog, a quarter of a log, because it has the status of liquids that became Tumah from a Sheretz. So maybe since it's more lenient in regards to Tumah, Afscharo Namikil, maybe it also has another leniency. It has leniency in regards to the wage. A wage for transporting Yein Nesach is not allowed, but a wage for transporting Stam Yena maybe is allowed. Tashma, coming here, proof. Tahu Gavra, there was a man. Ogar Arbe L'Stam Yenam. He rented out his boat to be used by a guy to transport wine. And we didn't know that guy had poured that wine to Avodah Zarah. It was Stam Yenam. It was wine of Goyim. Yavulei Chita Ba'agra. So the guy put wheat in place of the wine as the rental payment for the boat. Us, the commander of Chizda, so he went in front of Rav Chizda to ask, could he benefit from this wheat? Amarlei, and Rav Chizda said, no, you can't benefit from it. He told him, Zil Klinhu, you have to burn it, and then Kavrinu, and then bury the ash. Totally destroy it.
Wow.
So you see that even though it was not wine of Avodah Zarah, it was Stam Yenam. May have been wine of Avodah Zarah. It's wine of Goyim. He told him, you can't benefit. Not that he was swapping for it. He wasn't buying that wine. Even though it wasn't swapping, it was just hired as a worker. It was just the rental of a boat. It's like the rental of a donkey. It's like the hiring of a worker. Nevertheless, it was prohibited entirely. So we've resolved that question. So now the Gemara has other problems with this story. Why did he tell him to burn it and bury it? Just bury it. Valevale Badrinu, why didn't he just tell him, you know, throw the wheat out, you know, scatter them? Why do you have to burn it? So no, Asibuli de Takal. If he scatters the wheat, people might benefit from this wheat.
Yeah.
Okay, Valiklinu, so burn it to Levadrinu and then scatter the ashes. Why do you have to burn it and bury it? Oh, if he'd burn it and scatter the ashes, Dilma Mazabulu, maybe people would use it to as fertilizer in their fields. So the Gemara says, but why do you need to burn it? Just put it in the ground somewhere. Milo Tanya, didn't we learn in a Braisa that Echad Evan Sheniskalba, both the stone that is used to kill the person in Skila, Echad Echenitlalav, and the cross, you know, the wood where the person is briefly hung on after he was stoned, Echad Sayif, and the sword, Shenerag Bo, that he was killed with, Echad Sudar, Shenechnak Bo, or the scarf that he was choked with, Kula Nikbar and Imo, they're just put in the ground with him. So you see that when you have items that you can't get benefit from, you don't have to burn them, you just put them in the ground. So here, this wheat, you can't get benefit from it, so put it in the ground, why do you need to burn it? So my answer is, awesome, over there where the guy who was killed, the thing that kills him is buried with him. Awesome, the Kokavri Bevedina, there, it's the court burying him. The court kills him and the court buries him. Then the court buries the implement that killed him. So Muchamilsa Daruge Bezdininus. Everybody knows it's the court cemetery. They know this is, you know, where those killed by the Bezdin get buried. So they know you can't go unearth those things and benefit from them. But if I'm going to take a bunch of wheat and bury it, lo muchamilsa, nobody knows necessarily that it's prohibited wheat. They think, for whatever reason, I'm burying. What are they going to think? They're going to think, Inishkanov. They're going to think, Zev is a thief. He stole some wheat. Vasa kavrahacha. So therefore, he went and he buried the wheat because he didn't want the original owner to find it. So they say, hey, he's a thief. I'll go take it from him. So people are going to go take it. They're going to get benefit from it. So that's why he told him he had to burn it and then bury it.
But what happens, Rabbi, if instead of wheat, he gave him his slave? Now
I have to bury him
and bury him, though?
Can't do that.
I don't
know. Can't. He's not allowed to do that.
No. So,
he just have to say, I can't take him. I can't take the slave.
Okay.
It's not like he's from Yamamela.
Good question. Good question. But he couldn't.
Rabbi, it's not like he's from Yamamela. It's the same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't want it.
Rabbi, isn't this a gazera on a gazera?
Yeah,
wine
you're right.
The Yayin Asit Tahana was in one Gzeira.
Yeah. So whenever you have those questions, the answer is it's cool. It was all one big Gzeira.
That's hard to like.
It's a big Gzeira. The point is that the Gzeira is we're very, very strict about Avodah Zarah. So a lot of things get included. We're very, very strict about idolatry.
Both broad and...
Very broad, very expansive. It's very, very strict. Very, very strict. Okay. Next story. Zebei Rabbi Yanai, the people in the household of Rabbi Yanai, Yazfi Perish Shvius Me'anim. Going back to Shemitah now. So Shemitah, we said, whatever is swapped for Shemitah fruit has the status of the Shemitah fruit, and the Shemitah fruit maintains its status. So in the house of Rabbi Yanai, they borrowed Shemitah fruit from poor people, and let's say they borrowed apples. And apparently Rashi says they ate the apples. And then 2 months later, there were no longer any apples in the field. So, but okay, these apples were already gone. And then in the next year, in the 8th year of Parlu B'Shemitah, they paid back apples. So the poor people are now getting apples that are really the swap for Shemitah fruit. And they're getting it after this Manabiur, after the time of when you're supposed to get all that type of fruit out of the house. So also, I'm with Rabbi Yochanan. They came, they told us, Rabbi Yochanan, is it a problem? Is this fruit now prohibited? Because this fruit never had beer. It was never taken out of the house. He said, no, it's no problem. Yo, Saint Avdin, they're fine. It's fine. It's fine. Because, as Rashi explains, the guy, they borrowed Shemitah fruit. Then they ate it. They were allowed to eat it. So when the time of Biur came, the Shemitah fruit was not in existence. So now they're repaying Shemitah fruit. Now they're repaying in the 8th year. So in the 8th year already, there's no Shemitah, there's no Biur, there's no anything. It's the 8th year. So it's all okay. The same type of thing would be with wages for a prostitute. We've learned that a sheep that's given as a wage to a prostitute becomes prohibited. The Gemara is going to explain what's the type of case when the sheep becomes prohibited. It's when a man goes to a prostitute, he contracts with the prostitute that he's going to use her services, he gives her the sheep, he then has intercourse with her while the sheep is around, and then afterwards she decides to offer that sheep as a carbon. That's the sheep that gets disqualified. There's a moment where the prohibition takes effect. Ukenegdan, so the same thing would be the Esnan Mutter. In regards to the wage of a prostitute, in a case like this, it would be permissible. So what does that mean? The time is Linda Braisa. Nasan la, if a man gave her a sheep, the lo balel, but he never actually had intercourse with her, or balel, if he had intercourse with her, the lo nasan la, he hadn't given her a sheep, so then esnan amutter, then that sheep is permitted. So the whole brisa makes no sense. Nasan lo, velo balel, if he gave her a sheep and never had intercourse, the sheep is permitted, pshit, of course. The lo balel, he never had intercourse. Matana ba'amu di yavla, he just gave her a gift. Vesu, then the other case of the brisa, bala, if he had intercourse with her, velo nasan lan, he didn't give her a sheep, it's permitted. Chal yavla velo midi, he never gave her anything. So kevin velo nasan la, mayas nana mutri, if he didn't give her anything, what's there to permit? There's nothing here that was given. Elachi comes, what is the brisa? He means like this. Nasan la, if he gave her a sheep, and he didn't have intercourse with her. Ba'achar kach bala, and later he had intercourse with her.
Future services.
No. Much later he had intercourse with her. Oh, Balel, or he had intercourse. And at the time there was no sheep. And later he gave her the sheep. Esnana mutter. That's permissible. That sheep is permissible. The law of Esnan is that at the moment of the intercourse, there's a sheep around in her hand from him. So that's like here, the law of Shemitah is that at the moment of Biur, there's Shemitah fruit. If at the moment of Biur, the Shemitah fruit's not around, then it doesn't take effect. Says the Gemara, Nasan la, V'yachakach ba'la, I don't understand, if he gave her a sheep, and then he had intercourse with her, how could the sheep be permitted? L'chi ba'la, once he has intercourse, Leichol ala, Yisur esna l'mafreya, so then there's the prohibition on the sheep. Amr Belezer, Belezer says, with a case like this, Kishekanavikrivaso, he gave her a sheep because he's going to have intercourse with her. And before there was the intercourse, she already went and gave that sheep as a karban. So therefore it works, since at the time of the intercourse, the sheep is not around. Therefore, the prohibition doesn't take effect retroactively, and that's what's going on with Shemitah as well. If by the time when we're spending the money, the Shemitah fruit's already gone, by the time of beer, the Shemitah fruit's already gone, well, then there was nothing here. There's no status of Shemitah to take effect.
Future services can be used. Future payments can be used.